community has an opportunity to interact with the minister thereafter, I support that proposal. The minister's time is at a premium. He has agreed to appear before the committee. Let's maximize the opportunity to interact with him and to discuss the briefing.
Yeah, I think the Honourable Fonker was saying exactly that. He was just elaborating, adding a couple of commas and footstops to my proposal. So, Honourable Minister, look, the Minister has assured us the presentation is on its way. And I think while we are waiting, let's not waste time. Let the Honourable Minister take us through some of the issues without getting into the detail that the Minister might want in front of them. So perhaps the Minister will just give us an overall or something to keep the conversation going until such time that the document comes and the members will actually have the document to get. But reliably, I am informed that the presentation is on its way.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Taking from your introduction, Chairperson, like all of us, Honourable Members, we are not involved in any dictatorship, and we do respect the role of Parliament. And also because I'm also a member of Parliament in processing legislation. I would like to say we are here at your service and would be ready to answer any clarification questions on the presentation. The first point we want to bring, Chairperson, is an appeal for agents in handling this bill. The appeal comes in twofold. The members, you remember that in our first presentation, we said the original intention was to formulate a comprehensive state security bill. But because we understood members were very much interested in matters of policy, we then abandoned that process. That was the process we engaged in 2010. And because of the agency, we then focused on producing on the main, the technical bill of just implementing the policy decision we took in 2012. Oh, the presentation is here. Oh, yes, you can. Then, I just want to explain this so we understand why did we have a proclamation in 2009 and we produced the bill in 2010, 2011. The aim was to produce something which was not going to be a major contraption so that you can pass it quickly. One of the reasons is the oversight pressure. This is obviously would be in the presentation which is going to concern. The oversight structures, including the JSEI, the Inspector General, and the Auditor General, just to say, were heavily regulated entity of government, and we have got these oversight structures which oversee the work of the intelligence community. They've been raising that as long as we have those statutes not repealed, we establish those separate departments. For instance, the Auditor General was expecting different financial statements from each of those entities, SAS, NIA, the college, and so on. And as you know, when you're establishing and disestablishing entities, the procedure in government is that you must consult the Minister of Public Service and the Minister of Finance. We met with the ministers before the 2009 proclamation. It was with intention that within a year we should have produced legislation. Now, because the oversight structures are concerned, every year we have to go back to the Minister of Finance to ask for special permission to have one set of financial statements and one accounting officer according to the the proclamation, which defines by an accounting officer as a DBG, as a DG state security agent. The same challenge applies to the JSEI in terms of their oversight functions, because they're supposed to receive reports from all these former entities. Over the last 2 years, the Inspector General has also been giving a qualification in the, as you know, a certificate, which is the audit report from the Auditor General. We also get certificates from the Inspector General. And in all those certificates since last year, they've been saying, they found nothing wrong or illegal done by the agencies, but all the matters of embassies are in relation to this matter that were not finalized with legislation. So I'm just trying to to say, when we're introducing the bill, we did explain the rationale why we had to move to consolidation of our structures. The first reason was that we didn't have adequate resources to deal with all the inefficiencies which were done through duplication, particularly on the corporate support structure. So if, because if you establish a department, it must have its own corporate support structure. And yet, all these departments were very integrated, and people were not able to shift from one agency to another with ease. Yet they are all doing the collection work of intelligence. And our technical platform for collection were not having adequate resources to maintain them or get new technologies so that we remain on the sharp edge of this platform in order to secure our countries and our people. So these were the rationale that we're going to also consolidate training so that people can be trained and be easy to move. And the reason why the government agreed also, we're also envisaging savings. So that whatever money we're saving through this consolidation, we'll put it in the training of our members and retraining of our members in buying these technologies which you require. So we thought we should just rehash this thing, that the 2009 proclamation, there was a rational basis for it. And all the stakeholders in government, particularly those who are involved with establishing this National Treasury and DPSA, it was on a basis that they agreed that we're trying to focus. What was happening, members, as we explained, the bulk of recruitment, the bulk of our budget was going to support. Because it is easy to spend money in the corporate support, to buy computers, you're looking people who just have degrees. It's not like looking for a real person who's involved in operation, who has specific skills. A collector needs to be trained, specifically trained in collection. Not everybody, not every university graduate can do that. A targeting officer, a person to be placed in a foreign station, they have to get specific training. So we're having less and less budget going to the operations, and we're having more and more budget going to corporate support. And what we're also seeing, which was dangerous to our national security, the recruitment patterns and plans were more easier in these corporate support. When looking at complicated entities like, for instance, national communications, which need engineers, mathematicians, we're not getting the focus in getting those skills. And some of our members were aging who are involved in those skills. So it was something which was going to be a real problem if you allow it to happen. That's why then a political decision and the cabinet decision was taken. No, let's change that thing now. And I can assure you, members, that has helped much as the restructuring of our agencies has had some delays and problems, but it's starting to pay back the dividends, that process of restructuring. So we really appeal that the agencies, that we can't just allow ourselves to be disqualified because maybe there's a controversy in the bill in the parliament, we are really asking, our real hope was that this bill would be finalized by parliament, both houses, before the end of this financial year, to avoid DG and me going back to the Minister of Finance again. To avoid us being disqualified on something we have got absolutely no control because the bill is in parliament. Qualified. Okay. Okay. So the issues of mandates of the agencies, we tried not to put in this bill. Whether they are broad, whether they are constitutional, that was not the intention. The intention was just to establish the state security agency. That was the main intention. And the issues of policies and mandates, we thought it's not an opportune time to say let's address those things now. That's why we said right at the beginning, we would like to start with a process of a white paper. Then out of the white paper will come with a state security bill. But the members and the public can have an empty opportunity to engage on this matter. We did say some of the issues we'll have to consider are the things which have been coming out of various committees, staff team and commissions, which were appointed in this community of intelligence. So that, I'm still first slide. So that we take into account all those matters. We even said, because we noticed at the beginning, we did explain our position on the Metis report, on the unfortunate thing which happened to that report, but we didn't say we were discussing even the issues which were in that report, which was leaked to a certain newspaper. We said the cabinet took a decision that we should look, when we are coming with this comprehensive legislative review, take all those issues into account so that South Africans can rest that we are still doing things in the right way. And I'll assure my colleagues that as far as I remember in this government and the governing party, there's a high commitment to the constitutional order, because we're still a young democracy and we respect our constitution. So I thought I should just give that introduction, Mr. Chesterfield. However, we wrote a letter saying no, we didn't have intention to respond to issues of public hearing, because most of those matters are the matters which we dealt with when we were making the first two presentations. Not that we're ignoring the public hearing. Not that we're saying they shouldn't be, because they're an important platform for our legislative process. But we felt we couldn't come just repeat the very same things which we said in the first two meetings with the committee when we were asked to talk on the bill. As I said, some of them will be dealt with in this process of policy review, which we are committed to and we are still committed to. Second, as we were interacting with the ad hoc, I want to underline this, ad hoc committee members, it did appear to us that there was some concern. I'm not going to talk about interactions with other committees here, because I'm referring to the committee which is handling the bill now. That there were some concerns which were raised by members that, yes, the bill was technical, but there are some policy changes. Some of the areas in this respect were in relation to the appointment of the coordinator for National Intelligence Coordination Committee, NICOC. Yes, we did say it's a, agree it's a policy change. And we did put the reason why we're putting it at that particular time. And the location of NICOC was also perceived in the ministry, specified that it's in the ministry. Of course, it is in the ministry even now. But it was specified, but it was seen as a policy change. We accept it. And we felt because of the agency of this deal, we didn't want to start adding those things. I think some of the members of the party also raised some of these concerns. Our approach was then, Chairperson, to say, we are prepared, because of the agents of the bill, to remove all those provisions in relation to appointment of the coordinator and the location of the NICOC. And we'll work with the committee so that we can assist you to point where these changes are. We also heard from you members, if I'm correct, but there was some concern why we're defining foreign signals intelligence. I just want to give a background to this. After certain events in the mid-2000, around 2004-2005, there were certain measures which were taken by my predecessors. They are called interim internal policy. Interim operating measures at the NCC, which is a coordinating. The platform at our interim ministerial control measures. Or directive in relation to signals intelligence. By signals intelligence, really, we don't mean the interception which is supposed to be domestic signals. We talk about the foreign signals which move between countries. Because if you are intercepting the domestic communication in South Africa, we have got a legislation called RICA, Regulation of Interception Communications Act. And because at that particular time, at that platform, you'll be looking at foreign targets, basically, not operating in South Africa. And because in that bulk intercept, this was the bulk intercept of those communications, you then filter them to what you are actually targeting. And then you keep the information on the targets. Sometimes you may find names of South Africans. And this interim ministerial directive was trying to regulate what you do. Although it was mainly focusing on the information which is political in nature. We thought when we're introducing this bill, it was never meant to be a long-term thing. It was supposed that we should take a stance on that. What do you do with communications of South Africans or South African numbers which may be picking up? And the current situation is that you remove that information from our databases immediately. But we needed stronger measures to ensure that if then you are interacting with criminals from abroad, and we find in that platform, not only platform is in South Africa, then the Hillary manager was saying there must be a clear process of motivation by a DG or DDG, specifying who is the target, why you are targeting, what is the threat to our national security, and it goes to approval of the minister. And we felt that that's not correct, that we should continue with that process of approval by a minister. And we said, if you find then South African numbers in that passenger set and they're involved in criminal activity, if you want to target them, the policy change we're putting that follows the car, which is the law we have. But for us to do that, because these foreign signals were not defined in our legislation, we have to define the foreign signals in the legislation. That's why we have that definition. The sole purpose was to remove this process of authorization, ministerial authorization, application and authorization. So it is a clear policy. You find South African numbers, you follow RICA if you want to target them, like we do domestically, even if you find them in that platform. And we're basing that decision because we're saying, even when we're looking at the and debating RICA, which is really in the sessions domestically, it talks of the intersection centers, but it didn't talk of intersection platforms. So you can regard the NCC maybe an intersection platform. So we thought we should put this thing clear, but because members were saying, oh, these are new things, they are policy issues, we're not at that concern. Then, what we're saying, that was the purpose of us putting that thing there. But if members are also still feeling that no is a better policy issue and a deviation from the current, but if you check the clauses, it justified it, it says we can use foreign signals. That's all what it says. But if you're using it and find South African numbers, follow RICA. That's all the essence of the amendment. But if the members still feel, even after this explanation, that it is not correct to do that because it's a personal policy, we are prepared to say, okay, we'll go on, but we have shown our intention to stop that process. So I thought it's important that I spend time on this so that we are all clear why we our response is clear. I'm just trying to respond to issues which are coming from members as they were assimilating the public hearings and some of the concerns raised in the public hearings. Our own attempt to deal with each and every matter which was held, because as I said, if we are required to repeat it, we can do it. we got that big presentation, but we thought we shouldn't do that to the committee because of the agenda. We also said we heard from members of these committees across political parties talking about that we remove the exemptions of the contact. Contact is a communications security, CTY, LTD, the company, which definitely is under the intelligence, which deals with establishing, making sure that our communication platforms are secure from interference, from hackers, and so on. And when it was conceptualized, it was, why was it put as a company? There was a big debate at that time whether it should be a government thing or a private company. Because we're looking at how is it going to drive this revenue, because it was going to service both the state and the private sector. We took a decision that we should retain it as a state entity within the State Security Agency, but it will continue all its functions of protecting our national communication platforms and hacking and all those things. And doing assessment of these intrusions. The members will remember, we are one of the countries which is highly targeted by those who want to intrude into our communication system. The incidences, some of them, it's not just young kids trying to break into your codes and computers, but it is driven by criminals. Criminals who want to steal the money through our banking system, through our companies and so on. So we monitor these. And we have got this concept center which monitors these on a daily basis and advises the telecommunications platforms, those who are operating those platforms, like private telecoms, Vodacoms, and other private telecommunications, on what to do. We interact globally with other countries so as we look at these viruses and incidences and attacks. But we minimize, and when the attack is established, we can reduce its impact, but it doesn't affect South Africa. But when we are putting the bill, we focus just on transferring the functions. Because it was a key strategic asset across all parties at the time when we were establishing, we all agreed that it should be rented because it operates in the fields of, which is also regulated by ICASA, where you are required to pay licensing fees. So we really have thanked the members of the committees to alerting us to this, that in our Amendment Act, we didn't incorporate that section. We focused upon transferring the functions, and we thank you for that. So those are the really key issues, members. We think we can remove these policy issues, but we'll explain you to them. You can then choose which one do you remove. And we have got absolutely no plans if you remove NICOM provisions. It's not going to cause us a trans mesh. A trans mesh to us is to delay the deal and continue with the uncertainty and problems even on the oversight struggle. That's what would be a trans mesh to us. We can remove, after consideration, those amendments in relation to our National Communication Center and foreign signals, but we have explained the rationale why we put this, if you still disagree with us. On other matters, really, I won't comment, Mr. Chairperson. I would like to confirm that I did receive, through you, Chairperson, a letter from my honorable colleague, and I think I've dealt with those aspects, that the issues of whether this mandate of domestic collection is brought, we're not changing that mandate at this stage, because those are policy issues. We'll be able to deal with them when we're coming with those policy proposals. We have not changed the mandate in that regard. Whether broad counterintelligence mandate is the same thing, we'll follow the same procedure and so on. And the constitutionality of the intrusive measures, we have not changed the intrusive measures that we are putting new ones. So all those things will be there. But I would like to assure the members, it is our humble belief that, as I said in my introduction, that there is no intention in this government of the ANC since 1994 to flag the constitution. If there's anything which is unconstitutional and people have highlighted, we'll be prepared to address it. And they know that what we are trying to do is unconstitutional. The Constitutional Court has not at this age pronounced on those things. Have the Constitutional Court dealt with the intelligence legislation? Yes, on several occasions. And some of the issues were challenged on constitutionality, and the Constitutional Court, I think on two occasions, ruled in our favor. Because it must be understood that for a democracy to sustain, we also need security. But for the democracy to sustain, we need a high level of openness and accountability. So we need both these. And the key thing is, how do you really strike the balance so that you continue with an accountable democratic order? And we believe we've done this, Shepherdson. I thought I should just deal with these issues, because although it was supposed to be a tea party type of arrangement between me and Honorable Mayor, I thought they are important to raise here, but it is clear what is our approach. In short, Shepherdson, we are really appealing for agents. And by appealing for agents, we are not saying deal with the bill recklessly. We are saying we can remove the issues which we have identified as which may be the stumbling block in the quick finalization of the bill. And we are not saying we put them recklessly either. That's why we try to give this check and why we put those amendments. I thank you very much, Shepherdson, and we are then ready to clarify the issues on the basis of the presentation. With me here, of course, my DG and the legal personnel and advisor, of course, also the state law advisors are here to advise us if there are legal questions. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not even a push lawyer. I'm just an ordinary citizen. I'm a medical service, Shepherdson.
The Honourable Members, before we proceed for questions or clarity, let me remind you, I think reminding ourselves is always a good thing, that it is Chapter 11 of the Constitution that provides for the President of the Republic of South Africa to establish any intelligence entity or service. It is in that context that the proclamation came into operation. So just get the proclamation in case there's a consideration over the proclamation. It is in terms of the President's power, in terms of Chapter 11 of the Constitution, that he can establish. So the SSA, the new state security agency, is something established by the President in terms of proclamation, but the President doesn't deal with legislation. So we have the agency here busy dealing with the legislation to give effect to the proclamation. What we're dealing with in this committee is three pieces of legislation. There are three acts that cover the intelligence community. The first one is National Strategic Intelligence Act, the 94 Act, establishes various divisions and entities. The other one is Intelligence Services Oversight Act, that establishes the Office of the Inspector General and the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence and Functions. And the other act is the Intelligence Services Act, that's 2002 Act. In order for us to deal with what the Minister is saying, because those three pieces of legislation are dealing with all the intelligence entities, the Minister is now saying the bill is consolidating these entities so that there is greater, we can get more value for money, I think is one of the words he's using, to consolidate the thing into a more a unit that can work better. So instead of having director generals in all these entities, and we also have COMSEC, which is a It is an entity similar to ESCOM. It is a government entity with 100% government shares. It was established in terms of an Act of Parliament called the Electronic Communications Security Pty Limited Act. We call it COMSEC for short. This entity was meant to secure all government communication facilities. And it had been operating as such. The thinking now is that this entity should be unbundled and the functions of this entity should be attributed to the State Security Agency. So the COMSEC Act is going to be repealed and the functions, and what the minister was saying, that COMSEC had certain, it had certain dispensations where it was excluded from paying license fees, and it was something that had been overlooked, and we'd like to keep those functions. So COMSEC Act will be repealed. The other acts are going to be adjusted and amended. So what we're going to be doing in this committee is to amend these three acts so that where we used to see all these NICOCs, National Intelligence Communications Committee, Coordinating Committee, and where you used to see near the National Intelligence Agency, these things are going to be combined into one to form the State Security Agency. So there's little technical amendments where we are going to just be changing terminologies. Not much is going to be added. There's no desire here to say now that the State Security Agency will have functions other than what those separate entities had before. It's just going to be joined, and there will be one Director General now, whereas before, all these entities had their own heads and their own Director General. And the thinking was this would be less money spent, it would be greater certainty, it would be easier to handle, and so forth. Rationale, I think, has come out of the minister. So, any suspicion I think that members might have, you need to look at the legislation, which is already in existence and is going to be amended. And you would see then that terms are just going to be changed where we use NIA and SAS. We would now be using State Security Agency. So those are the sort of the processes that is envisaged here. So keeping that in mind, I've always been of use to the honorable members that are not familiar with the environment. Can we now go to the minister and get some questions of clarity, honorable minister? I see you really abused it by contribution to your briefing, but our members are going to question you there. So, honourable members, here's the minister you wanted to hear. It seems that you're all happy with his briefing. Can we then conclude this meeting here? We've got the honourable Bingo, and then the honourable Mayor, and then the honourable...
I think even in the last meeting, same issue. And I'm more convinced now that this presentation made by the minister has caused me, the minister, to begin to see my garden without weeds. And it, for me, it's very, very fruitful. Because the issue that the minister is actually, the consolidation and all the issues of the generals, we as members of parliament, we have to be very much open regarding that particular preventing one. Because here now is a situation that also reflects on us, as I understand it. If we're going to continuously receive qualification on an issue that we should have attacked the plenum, yes, of course, concerns the minister, but we have to begin to be just as the minister is requesting. Minister, I do believe, Chairperson, that we are going to consider your request when we meet as a portfolio committee. The agency thereof talks directly our responsibility as members. Because the issues that the minister came up with, which we raised, truly and indeed, we raised those issues. We wanted clarity on this, so that when we engage as a portfolio commission, we are clear on what we are engaging on. We are not coming here to then begin to clear the minister and say, no, we want to begin to look into the bill in your presence. No, we don't need you here. Not now. You have done what we requested to come and explain to us. I would have said chairperson if I were given other powers to simply say, now minister, you have said what we wanted to hear. You are now excused. Allow us to begin to deal with the issues that we presented, but chairperson, the key critical point, the issue of the policy, it has been said time and again by the minister that the major policy issues and the white paper is going to begin to attack to the issue. If we have any concerns, the minister is open to then say we are willing to accommodate any, but there is this particular end of it. Now, chairperson, we as the ANC, without repeating and harping on what we've been saying in the last weeks and so forth, we are satisfied with the explanation the minister has presented before us. The only thing left for us is to now engage the portfolio committee in our next meeting on all these issues, so that we can then begin to push on. Thank you.
Comments? I don't know, Mr. I don't think it requires a response. Thank you, Member. The Honourable Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. Let me begin by thanking the Minister for taking time out to respond to some of the issues raised in my letter, and trying especially to respond to the substantive issues, or some of the substantive issues raised in the public hearing. I'd like to traverse five aspects of the bill, but before that, I think it's important to place on record that I have deep reservations about the establishment of a state security agency. It is a major, it is a centralized civilian intelligence service. It is a major departure from existing government policy, and I have reservations about providing for and establishing a new centralized civilian intelligence service, much like the National Intelligence Service pre-1994 and the Bureau of State Security before that. Let me leave it at that. Now, I understand that the minister in submitting this bill to Parliament, the minister's overriding concern is efficiency and administration. But as members of Parliament, we have another concern, and that is the whole question of constitutionality and rights. And those cannot be ignored. So with that said, let me look at five aspects. First, a question of clarification. First, the National Intelligence Coordination Committee. This is a question for clarification. The Constitution, as I understand it, does not require the President to appoint a Minister of Intelligence. But given the fact that the President, in his wisdom, has decided to appoint a Minister for Intelligence and establish a Ministry for Intelligence, it strikes me then that Minister must have the powers in order to execute his duties. Ultimately, if the President is not satisfied with the performance of the Department, the President has the option of dismissing the Minister. Now, it seems to me that if we remove the provision in respect of NECOC, the first to the Minister's the power to appoint the coordinator of NECOC, the location of NECOC, for example, we are then diminishing the minister's powers. Is that a correct perception?
Next question, Mr. Okay.
The next one?
It's a point of order, a point of clarity.
It's you, Sam, I mean, I need clarity. I don't want to think ahead, our honorable minister. You said the president does not appoint the minister of intelligence.
He said he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to.
In terms of constitution, he doesn't have to appoint the minister of intelligence. He can take the position himself.
That's what I wanted to hear.
My point is, it seems to me...
This question.
It seems to me that the policy proposals and the provisions in the legislation for the minister to appoint the coordinator of intelligence, for example, is eminently sensible. And I'm surprised that the minister is prepared to concede on that point. So that's Ngok. I'd like to then move to the whole question of the mandate then of the State Security Agency. Now, when the minister refers to the whole question of foreign signals intelligence, well, when the minister refers to foreign signals intelligence, he argued that this was a major policy concern and therefore legislative remedies have been put in place. But dismisses the whole question of the concern about the mandate precisely because of the same reason. It's a major policy concern. Which really doesn't, there seems to be a contradiction. But my real point is this. Does a minister concede and share the concern, not just of the opposition, but many individuals and institutions that made submission, that the mandate of the intelligence services and of the State Security Agency is too broad? Does he concede that? And if he does, why? Like the major policy concern in respect to foreign intelligence, should we deal with that major concern in this bill? So that's the matter.
Third question, sir.
Third question on foreign signals intelligence. First, I just want to be clear. In respect to foreign signals intelligence, the primary concern is that the regulations in the RIPA Act can be circumvented. In other words, that South African citizens can be placed under surveillance by the State Security Agency without the authorization of a judge. That is the concern. If I understood the Minister correctly, the position currently in respect to foreign signals intelligence is that if a South African number is, shall we say, detected in a bulk interception, then the regulations require that on the basis of a submission, the minister must either authorize or not authorize continued surveillance. That is my understanding. And that is obviously a circumvention of the RICA Act. That is the current proposal. Your solution in this bill is for foreign signals intelligence to be regulated by RICA. That is what my understanding. If that is true, where then in this piece of legislation do you in fact do that? Because if you look at your submissions, your first submission, you say that the bill will provide, for example, for the collection and analysis of foreign signals intelligence in a manner prescribed in a regulations issued in terms of the Intelligence Services Act in accordance with the intelligence priorities of the public. Nowhere do I see a provision making foreign signals intelligence subject to RIA. So that foreign signals intelligence. I'd like to then move on to the question of departmental intelligence, which is, I regret, not an issue that I raised. We can traverse this at a different time. But my understanding in the Constitution is that only the President can establish an intelligence service, and if an intelligence service is set up, it must be regulated by national legislation. And yet in this bill and in the submissions, there are regular, there's reference to departmental intelligence. It suggests that within departments other than the civilian intelligence services, other than the police, and other than the South African National Defense Force, there are intelligence services or entities within departments which are not regulated by national legislation and which presumably are not set up by the president, which raises the whole question of the proliferation of intelligence services in the states. What exactly is a position in respect of departmental intelligence? The last issue, Chair, I did argue in my letter to the Minister through you, Chairperson, that we should have a more detailed briefing on signals intelligence, foreign signals intelligence, I beg your pardon. Perhaps we can still talk about that. But I also asked whether the regulations, and I presume that we are referring here to the ministerial regulations which the Minister referred to, whether those regulations are classified, and if not, whether they could be made available to members of the committee so that we can properly understand the whole question of foreign signals intelligence and how it is regulated. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Minister. Five questions. Answer six is only five.
Thank you, Honourable Beng, for your comments. And we have noted them. I think I agree with you, because as members of Parliament, our main task is to do effective oversight. While the Parliament in our dispensation has formed the ACI to do this oversight on behalf of Parliament so they can go into detail to employ activities, but it's still the responsibility that will come to Parliament. We agree with you, it may now sound strange that Parliament say continue with things which are a little bit irregular and affect actually your life functions as members of Parliament. I think that's an important point. And we really want to put this white paper, because the white paper, remember, it was done in that tough period of negotiations and adopting election of a new democratic parliament. But it was a useful document. It guided the intelligence community during a very difficult time. And I maybe dare to say that if we didn't have it, we might have experienced more severe problems. Intelligence community played a very significant role in ushering our democracy because of those principles which were put and discussed in those white papers which were eventually adopted by Parliament. So the review of the white paper is not a discarding, you are not throwing it away. But we are trying to say we must learn from experiences. We must also get South Africans participating in this thing. Because upholding national security in a democratic state requires participation of South Africans. Because we are conducting national security not only for the protection of state, but protection of our citizens and our environment. So it's going to be a critical process, and I really urge members, assist us if they've got ideas, because the white paper is available. And on how we should improve, and also when we put the draft to this parliament and hope this parliament will take it to the public, the South Africans also have input, because it's very important. You know, we often talk things we shouldn't be saying if we're citizens of other countries, about your country, because there's nothing which binds us as South Africans on how we should do some of these things. Coming back to you, Honorable Menya, the question is, do I have deep reservations that our mandate is broad and unconstitutional? I think I've answered the question. No, I don't have. That's why I said, I know at least two instances where we're taken to court precisely on those matters. And the Constitutional Court ruled in our favor. The high paper and the legislation is premised on the basis of our Constitution. And that's why I said we'll have then this ample opportunity to really look into that matter and engage it in detail when we are putting this policy matter, policy proposal, in the manner outlined. The SSA itself, whether I have noted your reservations, there was not one intelligence structure during the apartheid, there were many several intelligence structures. The consolidation, as we explained, yes, it is based on ensuring that we have got efficiencies. It takes into account that we have got limited resources as a country. The issue of resourcing of intelligence has been a debate, a major debate after our new dispensation. At some stage, I thought there was a presidential committee which was dealing with even resourcing the intelligence. Because we have got limited resources, we live in a country which is plagued by high levels of unemployment and inequality and poverty. I think we have the consensus in South Africa that we must direct our available resources towards addressing those issues. Because if we don't address poverty, if we don't address inequality and unemployment, we won't be able to maintain that national security we aspire for. It's one of the underlying causes affecting our national security as citizens of South Africa. So it is important that where we see inefficiencies, that we correct those inefficiencies. We did say that the intelligence community is a small community, but it's a professional community. Doesn't mean because a small community can't deal with issues, because we want to strengthen our capacity to collect by highly skilled people and professional people and support those who are actually at the forefront of collecting and analyzing this intelligence than allowing the situation which we're seeing where there was ballooning corporate support at the expense of operations of getting intelligence. So I don't think there's any wrong if we have detected, because that's what we explained when we're introducing. You can't say when you're seeing such growth inefficiencies which affect the real mandate of collecting and producing and analyzing and verifying information which you call intelligence to the state. But the state can take decisions based on correct information. You see, intelligence is not about rumors. It's not about, it's a little bit different from what my colleagues at the bank collect. They collect information too. But ours must be thoroughly verified, because the decisions we take as a state, they've got impact on our society. I can see my friend at the bank that disagree with me. I'm not saying yours is not important. Media is important. But the intelligence, it involves the collection of information. Verification of this. I know myself also verifies, but sometimes they forget. verification. Verification, and it means you must have different information comes from different platforms and different sources. And it costs money. It costs a lot of money and time. It also needs skills. It is analyst. A properly and efficient analyst who then analyze this information together with open information and covert information and give us the product. And that product, which is then shared across government and arise government, please correct these measures to avoid these threats, because we don't want our citizens to be confronted by those threats. And as I said, prior to 1994, all of us, the South Africans, agreed that we should focus not just on the threat of the state, but the threat to the well-being of citizens and the threat to our environment. All of us agreed on that. So when I think then these inefficiencies, it cannot be prudent. And I agree, I think you'll agree with me, that we have to sit down with that. We did have that there were several measures from 2002 to create even what was called the corporate joint services, shared services board. To say, okay, you've got departments that share these services. And we did say, of course, if you've got a department, you've got a DG, and you need the financial officer, and DGGs, they all focus to their performance on the narrow interest. The shared services board was to say, let's try as a civilian intelligence community share some of these things. We sit in the same farm, in the same location. And yes, they did try, as I did mention here, that what they wanted to share was peripheral. You know, the only thing they were sharing, they said they could to share is crashes. Those are peripheral issues, grass cutting, you know, gardening. But the real cost drivers were not being shared, the rational line. So, we're trying to, as a South African who knows the limitation of resources, we couldn't keep quiet when we think inefficiencies, poor products, focus on the corporate support, no focus on the actual collection, and say, no, we'll just continue. So that needed an urgent action, because we did try. We did try all the way from 2002, even when I was appointed in 2008, we tried to continue with this shared services board, until all of us agreed that it didn't work. So, yes, efficiency and efficient administration is not against the constitutional rights. We are not ignoring them. And that's why I said we said initially we had state security bill, which we intended to table. But we found that we can't be tabling this bill while we're still in the process of a white paper. Let's start with a real debate of the white paper, which gives the framework. We as South African say our intelligence services must operate under. Which gives broad guidelines on what can be done and what can't be done. Then we can come with specific things about legislation. So there's no contradiction there. On the first thing, on the legal, diminishing, you say diminishing power, don't say.
Let's deal with the NICOP issue.
The NICOP issue, Sheperson. There is no diminishing powers of the minister or president. As we explained, at that particular time, the minister can do that. What we raised with members when we made the first presentation was that there was a concern from the head of state that through legislation we continue to give functions which are not constitutional functions of state. And this was one of the examples. The head of state has got constitutional functions, and we're trying to add other functions through legislation and not outside those which were put in the constitution. Particularly in relation to appointments, whether it's a board, any other structures we establish through legislation. There was a concern. So, as far as we're concerned, there's no diminishing of powers. What we are saying, let's leave the state accord, because if it opens this type of debate, that's why we're saying, we are prepared, it's not an issue for now. We can leave for another year or two without that. And then we'll debate it when it comes with policy changes.
Mohamedia says that his view is that NICOP is properly, in terms of the way the bill is structured, NICOP is properly
I've heard that, but he raised the question of the missing power.
So he's asking you, do you agree with that?
That's why we put it in legislation. That's why we're responsible for putting the legislation. But we said we also listen to concern not only of media, of all other members of the other committee. It was in that context. As Honorable Ben said, they raised the concern because they wanted clarification, and we were bringing this clarification. The fourth one,
the state of regulations.
Or foreign signals. Way it's in the bill. if you look at page 5 in the bill, and look under KG, there's a new insertion. 1934, 1935, 1936, so to something. The whole of that paragraph, the new G, that's where it is. Unfortunately, they didn't align it with the line. You know, these lawyers in Parliament, they've got this funny thing of underlining one thing and putting one down, and it doesn't appear as a new thing to me. That's where it is. But that's how drafting is done. It is in that section. Okay. I think I've answered that. Yeah, the Department of Intelligence is not a new terminology. It's there in the current legislation on the Rosenthal. And it's not structured. Departments do collect information. Like, let me take fisheries. They will be collecting who's doing Yes. So the convention here is not a new thing that we do assist departments with specific information which pertains to their departmental issue, line function issue. That's what it means. We must give. If I find information about rhino poaching, I must supply the department which deals with protection of rhinos in South Africa that information. That's what is health department that tells you, not that the new structure, the secret structures which are collecting there on their own. Basically, it obliges the intelligence community to say, if you discover this information, we don't supply anything in communications environment. As we generally are jumping at first there. But, and they remain my friend. So, the departmental intelligence, let me just clarify this. Maybe the DG will help and clarify further. DG.
Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much. Basically, there are different intelligence product types. One product type pertains to the line function of a department. This product type requires that in the current articulation in the law is the major responsibility of the National Intelligence Agency domestically and in foreign environment is the responsibility of the South African Secret Service. NICOP does have a mandate of coordinating departmental intelligence on the basis of the request they get from a client But every intelligence structure is obligated, where we get departmental intelligence, to share that departmental intelligence with the relevant department as part of their day-to-day activity. Now, what has made this issue historically part of debate is that there were certain departments in the old dispensation who kept structures that were involved in covert operations. But since the new disposition, that is not the case. The only entities that are allowed to actually run these departmental intelligence structures would be the South African Police Service and Defense Intelligence. They are the departmental capabilities. You would have known that in the new disposition, around the creation of the Scorpions and the mandate of the Scorpions, this issue of departmental intelligence did come to the fore, and whether that capacity was correctly established and all of those kinds of things. But that issue was corrected, and the Joint Standing Committee intervened, and direction were given on those issues. That really, Chairperson, through Minister, is really the state of affairs of departmental intelligence.
First signals, I thought I've answered this question, but maybe the DG can help also. What we're saying here, if I get your question, you talk of the current position, you say it's against Rita. Yeah, my understanding is that we're not really here to open the whole debate on the foreign signals. What we're trying to do was trying to deal with the issue, what happens when you get South African numbers in the bulk data set. And the real policy decision, we agree is a policy decision, was should we continue with interim measures or just bring clarity so that intelligence services know that RICA then become applicable at what stage, because it's only dealing with South African numbers. And also it was dealing with political nature, but it was also dealing with criminal activities. So basically that's what we're basically saying. Did you want to add anything?
Yes, please, Minister. You know, the issue of foreign signals intelligence can be made to be very, very complicated. In actual fact, it is not as complicated as all that. Here is a question. Would you want operations that are run inside and outside the country where there is intrusion involved to be approved by a minister or to be approved by an independent authority which is part of judiciary? The essence of that question gives us a real simple answer. If you want to avoid what people claim the politicization of intelligence, we believe that you need operations that are directed by those who can look at issues without fear, favor, or prejudice, go to independent institutions that can equally apply the same criteria, and then ensure that that is done. That is the essence of the policy position being articulated. But when the question is raised, why are you smuggling new policy issues? Then we have to go back and say, indeed, we want this clarity to be provided here and now so that there is legal certainty and operational clarity. But it will not be possible if people still believe there is a need, there is no consensus. Because if you look at the issues that we're putting in that are policy related, they are all informed by our immediate historical experience. And our determination was that there was national consensus on the approach that we're articulating. But if Parliament is questioning that, it means we have misread what we believed was national consensus. It was in that context that the Minister then directed us to then delay those issues for the national discussion, which will be accompanied by the tabling of the national interest document,
the review of the white paper on intelligence, the tabling of the green paper on the national security strategy, which will be side by side other processes that are currently on the go. That's the only reason we're retracting on some of those issues, because we want the deal to be in place so that oversight concerns that have been articulated by the minister can be adequately addressed. That's really the main reason. So foreign signals intelligence, for us, makes sure that there is no one who works for the state security agency who is unsure about how work is supposed to be done. That really was the essence of it.
Thank you. That's one of the last issues. Yeah, the issue of the detailed briefing of foreign signals. Those type of briefing we normally do the JCI. but we'll be guided by you, Shay, on how to deal with that, because you remember last time we did another famous deal here. We tried to make presentation and in the name of openness. And there were a lot of other unintended consequences which followed that process. But we leave that one to the members, really. Yes, we can brief you in a secured environment under certain conditions. That's what I can say, Mr. Shepherd, on that one. Are the regulations classified? Yes. they are classified, from the referendum. Thank you.
The Honourable Capitelli.
Thank you, sir. I think the minister needs to explain himself big to our call. Actually, we've been in the class of intelligence in much detailed approach. We appreciate it. We really appreciate it. I think all of us can go and serve now in the JCI after this. Secondly, which having listened to the minister, I call upon us as the PC to schedule a meeting to interrogate the PC on our own. We propose that the PC meeting be scheduled next week to discuss further. In the case of the liquor issue, we have noted that the minister has said and that they have just added on. We will look into it as a portfolio. Really, it's very rare to get a team that will take you step by step to the intelligence classroom as we have been taken today. If we can say we still need the minister now, then I think we'll be meaning something else, because as we took an oath, the parliament and the executive have the additional right to uphold national security. I will see it in this house, in this room happening. If we can fail and go and uphold the international security, it will be on our own wish, not out of the failure of this meeting. Honorable Minister Norton, thank you very much, really. You studied us so much. And we know also the agency of this portfolio committee to respond to what a audit committee is looking from us. There's no need for us now to delay. Thank you very much.
Let me begin by thanking the minister for his response. Certainly on the question of the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee and Departmental Intelligence, the Minister's response assists me to clarify. I'd like to come back to the issue of mandate and foreign security, foreign signal intelligence briefly. On the issue of the mandate, if there's an urgency in this bill, then it is the mandate. The Minister concedes that on foreign signal intelligence, there is a major concern, and therefore there is a major policy intervention, and that policy intervention is provided for in the bill. Why not make recognize the major concern in respect to the mandate and propose a similar policy intervention and provision for that intervention in this legislation. I do not think that we can go through another election with the State Security Agency, the new centralized State Security Agency, with a broad mandate that does not at least exclude political intelligence and the gathering of political intelligence. It is a major public concern. To the extent that there's an urgency, it is concerning the mandate, and in my view, should be dealt with now in this bill. We cannot delay the process, because if we do, there is no prospect of the so-called State Security Bill, in my view, be passed before 2014, before the early part of 2014. So that's on the mandate. On foreign signals intelligence, I mean, the Minister has made quite, for those of us who are not in the intelligence environment, a fairly startling revelation, and that is that where South African numbers are intercepted in bulk interception, South African citizens may be placed under surveillance provided it is authorized by the Minister. That is the current situation. And I mean, to the Minister's credit and to the DG's, acting DG's credit, the State Security Agency are concerned about it and propose an alternative which we support, and that is that the authorization be carried out by a judge of the High Court. We absolutely support it, and we must provide for it in this book. My argument, and when the committee deliberates, I'm not convinced that we make satisfactorily make provision for that in the bill as proposed. But we, going forward with our law advisors, will have to determine that. I point you to, for example, you pointed me to, what was it, 3K, 3H5, authorizes the State Security Agency to collect and analyze foreign signal intelligence in a manner prescribed under Section 37.1C of the Intelligence Services Act and in accordance with the intelligence priority of the Republic. Nowhere there reference to Tarika. But we support your policy direction. We must just be satisfied that the final bill properly achieves the policy goal which we share. That's all. On the question, the final question on regulations, the Minister says that the regulations in respect of foreign signals intelligence are classified. And I understand why that may be the case. But surely the section of the regulation dealing with how South African numbers intercepted during bulk interception are dealt with should not be classified or should be declassified. So my question then to the Minister is, will he consider making those sections of the regulations available to this committee? Those processes surely cannot be confidential.
Question on the confidentiality. Are we also going to talk about the issues of classification in that occasion? If you can just ask this, because as you correctly said, it intends that some of us, you know, have not been sworn to secrecy.
The Minister has already stated, I think the Honourable Mania is just seeking clarity on the question as to what are matters that come before the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence and what are matters that this committee might be able to deal with. The Honourable Mania has now said certain things that he thinks is relevant that perhaps should be made available to this committee. Now, that's, I think, the question for the Minister of the Art. The question on the mandate, I think you already answered that thing.
Sorry, I thought I did some I put forward some proposals. I didn't hear you just asking whether anybody is supporting those proposals. I think the other disadvantage of being over-educated about something is you tend to go beyond the mandate and you want to enter into other spheres. That's why I said the issue as a portfolio committee, we'll discuss about it obviously, if a peace is found, assisted by the member of the family to steal, the member of the family will have to get it thoroughly. We look into it as a committee. I don't think the minister should be present when, as a committee, we're discussing those issues. What do we do when the local is found in cahoots with a foreigner? We'll look into those things, we'll discuss those things. Not unless really what I proposed was not heard, then we can take the meeting further away. Thank you.
Is there a point of order on this?
No, Jefferson. I wanted to say furthermore. We are talking about the presentation from the minister, and we are seeking clarity questions in the process of us coming up with a bill. Now, if there are any areas, therefore, that members would want to make submissions on, let them make submissions so that when a member discusses a certain point, he discusses that point on a particular standpoint that we will be looking at, contrasting it with the proposals from the ministry. Otherwise, we're going to listen to one or two persons now, interrogating, not seeking questions of clarity, interrogating the presentation, instead of us, together as a committee, talking to the presentation by individuals, by parties, on how they feel about how certain aspects of the deal should be effected. On a point of order, Commissioner, I think we need to reschedule, and you accept submissions on areas where people think that they would want to make submissions on. Thank you.
Honourable members, I set out the guidelines at the beginning of the meeting. The minister will make a presentation, we'll see points of clarity, and then we will come back and we will, as a committee, then deal with matters. So the Honourable Ngabadali did remind us that that is what we agreed upon. However, the Honourable Mania seeks what I consider to be clarity on two issues. He has included there some other thing that I think is rightly disturbing you, but he seeks clarity on the question of the mandate. And he seeks clarity on whether the regulations can be made available to this committee. And I think on that I must give him the opportunity and give the ministry to just clear up the questions of clarity. This question of the mandate of the Honourable Mania, you have answered it, but I think this whole thing that he is saying now, when you bring everything together, you see anything that it shouldn't be there. I can't understand rationale, because the things are existing. Please, honourable members, I'm talking, please. Is there new things there? That's the clarity seeking, because I think that's the point. And on the question of the regulations, can the regulations be made available to those parts that he is referring to?
Jefferson, at least I've tried to explain. I don't want to enter them into debate with members. The issue of mandate I've explained. Our routine was that there was no national consensus on some of those issues on mandate. And in order to reach national consensus, we have to start debating the policy on its own. That's the approach we're taking. The approach we say, no, let's bring all policy issues now. It will really derail us. That's the only way of keeping this bill. It will sit in this parliament for a long time. Because, like I said, we have state security bill and we stopped it because of the edges of the bill. And we'll create the platform for debating the policy. Secondly, I'm not sure what this thing called political intelligence. Because we don't have that thing in our statutes. What we have said in other deals, we have put clarity that in collecting intelligence, we don't interfere with legitimate political activity. That's a rule in South Africa. We're reaffirming it through other philosophies. So that's all what I wanted to say, Shepherd, and that really we're trying to explain. We can explain ourselves again on the issue of funding. I'd advise honorable mayors, that will be reckless and dangerous if we try and bring all policy issues down. That was not the intention of this legislation, as we have put it. And we clarified the intention of this legislation was to establish state security agency. It was a consolidation legislation. I think that speaks to that mandate and the intention of the bill, because that radically changed the intention of the bill. I don't think that's allowed, that I can introduce a bill and in the middle of it change the intention. I don't think the rules of parliament will allow me to do so, or even the constitution will order that. So I thought I should just deal with those chapters and really say we have listened to the concerns. We'll continue to play a role of being assistant to the committee to the extent we can. And we'll continue to support the committee members. Our officials will be here, even if I'm not here, so they can help clarify some of the issues. Let me emphasize, there's an agency, and in our view, there will be a process, a very open process of dealing with policy review. Yes, there were policy issues in this legislation. We were fully rational, and we said if there is no consensus, let them be removed, those policies, and we have identified which policy issues we can leave without. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, Honourable Mayor, I see you want to, what is that you are seeking, Honourable Mayor? Could you address me first?
The Minister has now dealt with the issue of mandate. We evidently disagree. We will deal with this during the deliberation, because I think that there's a fairly simple short-term solution which I will propose. It will not be majorly diverted from what the Minister said. If indeed the intelligence services are prohibited, we do not collect political intelligence, we will provide for that in our...
I just want you to...
The whole question of regulations. I did ask the Minister whether he would be prepared to consider making those sections of the regulation in respect of foreign signals intelligence, which deal...
Maybe let me answer this question. I apologize. No. I've got no intention. The intention we should specify was to remove that problem. It's going to depend on the committee. I can't then now preempt the committee, even the JCI, to say before the committee make consideration now, declassifying these things and so on. That won't be prudent. We can't follow such procedure. We raise the matters are with the committee. Depending on the outcome of committee, we may consider what you say to do it in a relevant platform. Thank you.
Yes, the Minister said that in a previous the committee on a similar situation, he was not happy with the process that was followed. It had led to consequences that he had not intended. You recall he had said he had requested the meeting be closed as well. But let's not get into that, honorable members. We as a committee are going to decide that if we want the minister to come and declassify, because that is a decision that we took. We will take such a decision after careful consideration. So I don't think honorable members need to be scared that the committee is not going to be competent enough to deal with the issues and to take whatever decisions it needs to take in order to be able to address the legislation. So let this process come to an end now, because I think that it is going to say as much as he wants to say. If we start squeezing him now, he's going to start saying things that he doesn't want to say, and I think from the Vandali has drawn our attention to is a very eye-opening process, particularly for those that have not served on the JSCI. So let us meet as a committee next week, and we will meet next Tuesday in this very room at 9 o'clock. And then let us start to look at some of these things that have been said by the Minister and the Honourable Mayor. It seems to be agreed with the Minister on some very crucial issues here, which I also needed to get to. Earlier, I mentioned that you as the minister seem to have found yourself. So, no, there's no need to fear. You as the radio, the honorable radio is supporting your proposal, one of the issues of the bill. So, honorable members, can we now agree? We will take all such steps to see that all members are present, because this is a committee process, so we must not leave anybody behind, because you know where they come later, that you have to revisit these things and explain to members that have not been present in the meeting. So those of you that are able to, please inform your colleagues. I would like to even call it a summons meeting, a compulsory meeting, so that all members, even if the alternative members are present next week, if there are letters that need to be written to your chairpersons or other committees to excuse you to attend this meeting next week, please approach me so that we can deal with that. And I want to see you here next week, 9 o'clock. Minister, I'd like to invite your people to be in attendance next week. You are excused if you so wish, but it might be helpful, and we don't know, that we might require some intervention or some assistance from your staff, in which case it would be nice if some of them are present to assist the committee, so they are invited. Honourable members, that then is the business for the day, and we are now adjourned.